back to the Red Debate, and we're going to talk about West Ham today. I'm Tom, and I've got with me Chris. Chris, what are your immediate thoughts following the West Ham game now that we're a few days down the line?
After a bit of reflection, I'm still in pretty high spirits. The result wasn't what I wanted, obviously, but you've got to take the positives. It wasn't a particularly good performance, but ultimately, we're still top of the league, and you can't really be in a better position than that, can you?
That is an unexpected stance from you, my friend. I saw your tweets in the aftermath, and I was just like, bloody hell, I thought Smith was going to go on a rampage here, but yeah, well, it's...
Go on, you go.
Go on. Yeah, I agree with you. They're games that in the past, I say they, I'm talking about the Leicester game and then the West Ham game, they're games that in the past we've seen us lose. And I mean, Robbo summed it up, didn't he, afterwards when he said, no one's talking about when City lost to Palace and Leicester. The pressure seems to be on us in a week in which Newcastle also beat Man City, or rather Man City lost to Newcastle. It could be a lot worse.
That's true. I think, to be honest, the City losses have been masked by the huge wins. So the arrogance in the way that they dismantled Arsenal, for example, because of those pretty comprehensive victories, I think they're sort of like morale-boosting wins, if you get what I mean. Whereas we're, even in the wins that we're getting, a lot of them have been like quite tight affairs. Until recent times where we've maybe scored a few more goals.
True.
There's been a couple of sort of like one goal wins, isn't there? We're not quite as blistering in terms of spanking teams as we were maybe last season.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's gone largely unmentioned that we also beat Arsenal 5-1 on the 29th of December, not too long ago. But you're right. Those sort of tighter fixtures, often with clean sheets for us, one or two goal margins. I miss the clean sheets though, Matt, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's a bit of a strain. Well, to be honest, it's not that unexpected, is it, given the injury problems that we've had? But it is a little strange how suddenly we're looking fragile again from what seems to be plaguing us for years now, but set pieces. Obviously, Harry Maguire did us for Leicester, and then we're all over the place defending set pieces against West Ham as well.
We were, weren't we? Klopp came out. Let's drill down a little bit on the West Ham game. But Klopp came out and said, didn't he, that he had to make three lineup changes in the build up to the West Ham game.
Yeah.
Obviously, that changes your set piece defensive routines as well as attacking setups. I personally don't. I wax and wane with Matip. He made me miss Lovren in the last couple of games, which says a lot about Joel Matip.
You know my thoughts on Matip. I've never been a fan of him. He's too weak defensively.
He's not aggressive.
No, yeah, exactly. Weak in terms of his front-footing defensive qualities. He's quite good on the ball in terms of like being aggressive. He fizzes the passes in, and he's more than happy to carry the ball out of defence, albeit...
I'd say he's too happy to do so.
He's not Lucio at the end of the day.
Good reference.
You touched on my tweets post-game, which they were negative, but at the same time, I wasn't like disappointed or complaining about the situation we're in. My issues are just that, comparatively, it will be extremely frustrating, though entirely not unexpected, if we don't go on to win the title now, because we end up having to play players like Adam Lallana, Naby Keita, James Milner at right back. When, you know, for me, this is going to be the best opportunity we've ever had to win the Premier League. We're in the driving seat here. We've got a great squad, like the best squad I think we've had in, well, possibly ever in the Premier League. I can't for the life of me fathom why we haven't strengthened those key areas. And I appreciate that players will be coming back, but ultimately, if by the end of February we're second and City are still on the steamroll that they're on, it could be literally worth nothing. And although in hindsight, I'd be happy with second at the beginning of the season, given the position that we're in, they're my frustrations.
From this vantage, yeah. I mean, I've got a few things to say about that. The first of which is the three players you cite there. I'm not meaning to totally disagree with you, but do you not think that listing Adam Lallana and Naby Keita and Milner as a fullback being unreliable or undesirable options, do you not think that in itself tells how strong our squad is? At the end of the day, City won the league and may well even win the league this year with Fabian Delph at left back, and we're complaining about using James Milner as a right back and complaining about a player like Naby Keita, who for me, you know, would be a useful player for any team arguably in the world. I'm not saying I think he's ready.
I disagree with you on that. I think ultimately our competition is Manchester City, who are possibly the best team we've ever seen in the Premier League. Would any of those players get in the City team? No.
Would they? Milner would start left back for them.
I don't think he would.
He's better than Fabian Delph.
I'd disagree with that personally. I would have said that two years ago. Milner's still let's be clear as well, I'm not saying Milner's not very good. Just at right back, his lack of pace.
No, yeah.
He's been destroyed by Anderson had him in all over the place against what he was shocking, I thought, in the West Ham game.
Milner? Yeah.
And
Felipe Anderson and Wilf Zaha are two good wingers, though. Let's be honest, they're probably the two of the best players outside the top six, if not the two best players outside the top six.
Yeah,
But I know what you mean. I
don't think Milner would start left back for Man City. He's
Fair
probably
enough.
The only one you could argue, because I would have him in our strongest 11, probably, just not in that position. But it's more just like you look at the bench and their defining moments, title winning moments. And we've got coming off the bench Divock Origi, who certainly wouldn't get in the Man City squad.
Yeah.
And Daniel
Sturridge,
who also certainly wouldn't get in the Man City squad.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, and that's the difference, isn't it? And I think if we do come up just short, it will be one of those things where it's just extremely frustrating that it's quite obvious the weaknesses that we have, and we've almost shot ourselves in the foot by playing this waiting game that has worked well for us previously with like Van Dijk, for example, but we weren't close to winning the league when we were waiting for Van Dijk.
Yeah, that's been my argument throughout. My thing is that it's probably just that the right player wasn't available. I don't really see that there was an urgent need to get a defender. I'll admit, when we rewind and go back to our transfer window podcast, I was saying at that time, let's do it. I think Klopp's obviously had the idea that he can use one of his midfielders as a fullback or a defender as stopgaps. I just think you can't really legislate for the kind of weird injury crisis we've had, where players have been ill, kind of like half unfit. You know, we've had Fabinho, Van Dijk and allegedly Milner all have viruses, and then you've had sort of like delayed returns from Trent and Gomez. I think Klopp probably imagined having more fit bodies at this moment.
True, but at the same time, knowing the situation that we're in, why would you let someone like Nathaniel Clyne go on loan?
Because I personally don't think Clyne would have even played. I see what people are saying. I don't think he'd have started Clyne and benched Milner, or started Clyne and used an unfit Milner with Lallana on the bench. I really don't. And beyond these two games, the Leicester and West Ham, I appreciate we've dropped 4 points out of six, but I don't think Clyne again gets a look in, because we'll come to it later, but we're talking about Trent maybe being fit for Bournemouth.
Yeah, that's true. But again, even if it's a matter of games, like even one game, the risk v reward sort of balance is so big, you know.
Yeah.
Even if Nathaniel Clyne played one game this season and we had a beaten West Ham, for instance, they're the fine margins that win you the title or not. If we go and lose the title on goal difference, we'll look back and say, what could have happened if we had a proper right-back, for instance, in one of those
games?
And I don't mean to be all doom and gloom, because as I said at the start, like I'm delighted with the way the squad is playing at the moment, the personnel we've got, and obviously you up as a manager. But it does frustrate me how... like it's clearly obvious that particularly in certain positions like the defence and the striking options, the options we've got off the bench are just, for me, it puts a lot of pressure on all of our starting lineup.
Yeah, I really think we're one attack alight. But I'll go back to you on the Clyne thing, and I'll just say, I see your point about them being crucial games, and even if it's just one or two. Had Nathaniel Clyne started that game or been available for us, would you have been any more confident going into the game that we'd have won? For me, the answer is definitely no.
No, definitely
I thought we would beat both of those with both the lineups we put out.
So did I. But at the same time, I don't feel that he would have negatively impacted us, because Milner then would have been able to fill one of those midfield slots. And I think
Milner probably doesn't play. It sounds like he was pretty unwell. He had to travel up separately, like quarantined almost. but yeah, I mean, I think I see your point, but I've got to say, going into the West Ham game, particularly with Shaqiri on the bench, I thought we'd have enough to beat them. You can't compensate for Firmino having an absolute stinker, Salah not really being up to speed, Keita looking a bit lost, Robbo not playing well at all, Milner getting rings run around him, Van Dijk having apparently lost 4 kilos and not really playing that well, Fabinho just coming back from illness. It's pretty, the whole team's pretty much wiped out. Mane's the only player that comes out of that with any credit, I reckon.
Yeah, that's true. And I think, well, you mentioned it about like Van Dijk. He's noticeably been slightly off his game in the last couple of weeks.
I don't think playing with Matip helps him. I think if you ask Van Dijk who he'd want to play centre-back with, he'd much rather play with Lovren or Gomez.
Oh, yeah, I think it's clear. Like, as much as Lovren gets himself into these situations where he either says something ridiculous or makes a howler, he, for me, is by far better than Joel Matip. And should.
I think he's really underrated.
I also think, yeah, because for the majority of the time, he's very good.
Yeah, you can file Lovren up there with Henderson for me in terms of you notice what you miss when he's not there. You notice what he brings when he's not there. So it's like careful what you wish for kind of scenario. People were desperate for Henderson out of the team. People were desperate for Lovren out of the team. We could really have done with both of them against West Ham.
Massively. I think the Henderson and Wijnaldum exclusions from the squad were absolutely enormous. It's very, very rare that you see a Liverpool midfield these days get outplayed and outrun. And
we got bullied by Declan Rice, who for me is a great player. I really like Declan Rice.
Declan Rice is a good player, yeah. But even Mark Noble was, you know, getting well and truly stuck into that midfield three. And you just think that physical presence of both Henderson and Wijnaldum, even one of them would have been a real game changer to help us control the game.
Massively. One thing I was surprised that we didn't change to was West Ham's outball every time was land the ball, particularly from goal kicks, but their outball from deep, land the ball on Antonio's head, who's got like the aerial dominance over Robertson. Keita standing on his toes, which happened every time, wasn't doing anything. Antonio's like a man versus boy compared to Keita.
Yeah.
And then they were shifting to play to Anderson, who is in acres of space. If Henderson had played, he would have sat in front of Antonio on those goal kicks, or Wijnaldum would have sat in front of Antonio. That was a massive overplay. Anderson, I can't believe he got man of the match, but I did think he was good, was in absolute acres. He was isolated against Milner far too many times.
Yeah, exactly.
And
it felt very much Rodgers 2015, sorry.
I was just about to say the same. When you've got Salah, Mane, Firmino getting bullied by Ogbonna and Diop, who I thought looks a good player.
Yeah, they did really well. You've got to give it to them.
Yeah, they did. West Ham played quite well, which is a shame because they've been on a stinking form. I was speaking to Baker, one of our West Ham friends, before, and he was just saying, "You'll hammer us." But yeah, I thought they were fine. It was
where you just don't know which West Ham's going to turn up, and unfortunately for us, we were off our game and they turned up.
Yeah. Well, you know, do you think City are going to beat Everton tonight?
I'm just never in doubt.
Yeah.
Every time they play, I think I wouldn't be that surprised if they absolutely hammered them.
Yeah, if I was a betting man, I would go City -2.
Yeah.
So that leaves us possibly any last thoughts on the West Ham game? Anything you wanted to touch on?
Not really. I suppose so. Positives, as you said, Mane played very well again. The negatives were quite clearly Firmino and Salah.
Firmino was awful, wasn't it?
Firmino was absolutely terrible. It's probably the worst performance I've ever seen him play for us. His touch was just abysmal.
That's the worst I've seen him play, yeah.
Yeah, I read a really interesting stat, actually, that Liverpool have lost possession the fourth most time in the league, which is bizarre if you think about it.
That is, yeah.
We've given away possession the fourth most time, and it was behind like Huddersfield, Burnley and Everton, strangely enough.
It depends what the statistics term possession, doesn't it? Because like ball turnovers, there are a lot of ball turnovers in the midfield attacking areas for us because of the number of take-ons we make, particularly Keita yesterday. I know you're going to say your frustration with him is that he tries one too many things, but I was impressed by how front-footed he was yesterday.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that was my frustration with him. I agree with you that second half in particular, Keita, I wouldn't say came into his own because he still didn't really do anything, but he showed those glimpses again that we've spoken about before, which if he does that consistently, you're looking at a very good player. He had some great moments in the second half. First half for me, and I've said to you off air as well that the goal,
too sloppy.
I think he should have done a lot better on. He was way too weak to allow Mark Noble to just brush him aside, basically. Their goal.
Yeah, no, when he gets blocked by Noble for Antonio's run. That goal reminded me so much of the Argentina free kick against England in the 98 World Cup. Do you remember it?
No, go on.
Just similar training ground move. The one that you sort of watch on first viewing and you're like, what the fuck, how has that happened?
Yeah.
And then you watch it back and you realise it's actually intricate and it worked.
It was a good finish from Antonio. It was definitely well worked, but you've got to be strong in those defensive positions. And I thought Keita, as we've highlighted before, he just looks weak. But having said that, he did improve massively in the second half.
He really did. He was our biggest threat, I thought, second half, and he looked the most likely to make something happen. But I heard an interesting Rafa Honigstein quote about Keita from his Leipzig days in the Bundesliga. And he was saying that one of Keita's main qualities is being able to change the pace of a game that's moving slowly and then just suddenly pick the ball and surge. It's one of the theories of his struggles to adapt to the Premier League have been probably that change of pace is largely an ineffective tool because the games all go so fast anyway. So he's, you know, there's no possibility for a tempo change from slow to fast, which I thought was quite interesting because as West Ham noticeably tired, Keita seemed to also noticeably come into the game, I thought.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think it's not just the pace of the game as well. It's like the physical aspect of the Premier League. You can't really just brush past someone in the Premier League as easy as it might be in, say, the Bundesliga.
Yeah, they'll have Keita on the weights in the summer. I'm sure of it. He looks like a kid, doesn't he? He doesn't look physically up. No chance. He doesn't either look physically up to speed or he doesn't look strong enough on the ball. Which I suppose is something that you sacrifice that for agility, which he obviously has, but yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's move forwards to the Bournemouth game then. How are you thinking we're going to line up? Have you got any injury news, any injury updates?
Injuries, it's a tough one to say at the moment because Alexander-Arnold is a possible, although he hasn't trained too much. And
it seems we've been saying that for ages, Trent's a possible.
Yeah, He does seem to be back in full team training now, though. So I would be surprised if he wasn't actually on the bench at a minimum. Given the importance of the game now, I think if these boys are fit, they will be trusted.
Trent's another one who in his absence has shown us how important he is.
Yeah, it's the attacking output from him. I think his natural width and sort of pace up and down the wing. And crossing ability is been massively missed. As good as Milner's delivery is, it's just his natural fitness up and down that wing, isn't it? He provides a real out ball for us.
Yeah, he's a great player, Trent. So what are we saying about Trent possible, Henderson possible?
I think Trent and Henderson will play, personally.
From the start?
Maybe not both. Well, it depends on other injuries, doesn't it?
It's so hard to call.
What we know is that Lovren has no update, so I'd imagine not in the squad. Still out with a hamstring injury. And Wijnaldum also, I think he has a knee injury, so unlikely to be. I don't think he's been 100% ruled out, but he's not in training. So unlikely to be fit. And obviously Gomez is the long-term absence.
Yeah.
I think if Henderson is fit, he will start on that basis. But possibly if Trent plays, you could move Milner back into the central midfield role to give it a bit more sort of experience and feistiness in there.
Yeah, I can see us going Robert, Alisson, Robertson, Van Dijk, Matip, Milner right back, a midfield of Henderson if fit with Fabinho, and then Keita maybe as a 4-3-3, or maybe Keita left wing forward in a 4-2-3-1 with Mane, Firmino and Salah. I would rather see Fabinho, Henderson and Keita, because Bournemouth have got their own injury issues. It'll be interesting to see what Bournemouth do.
I think Fabinho is massive in this game. And
so do I.
Just to touch on the importance of this, I'm willing to chuck it out there that if we don't beat Bournemouth, we will not win the title. It's done.
It's a huge weekend for us, particularly as City go to Chelsea. I can see, as you said earlier, I can see City getting 6 points from the next two. But at the end of the day, with a three-point lead, which it would be if we win against Bournemouth, it's in our hands. So City can almost do what they want, as comfortable as it would be for us for them to lose to Chelsea. But I think you're right. I think for momentum's sake, it's huge for us that we beat Bournemouth. And then we've got a nice break going into the Bayern Munich game and hopefully a chance to recoup.
Yeah, and get some of the boys back fit. I'm positive, to be honest. I think with Bournemouth's injury problems, they're a massive threat, don't get me wrong. But I reckon the boys will turn up and they'll be hungry to set the record straight again and sort of find their form. And I'm really hoping that the front three find their spark as a three rather than individuals again. And I'd love it if we pumped them.
Same. I was thinking about this earlier. It's weird how Mane's on a bit of recent form. Firmino seems not to be. Salah has kind of got over the peak of his latest burst of form. They haven't really all been in goal-scoring form at the same time, the three strikers. They've been in fits and bursts and starts. And they've all had periods of being hot, periods of being cold. It would be nice to get all three of them on the score sheet again.
It would, yeah. And I think that's going to be crucial in this run-in now to mask any injury problems that we've got in other areas of the pitch. We can get away with it if those boys turn up, just like we used to do in previous seasons. If we can outscore teams and those boys turn up, we've got a great chance to not only maintain our lead over City, but build upon it. Because the games are going to start coming thick and thin. And you've got Champions League coming as well. I mean, City are fighting on four fronts. And although their squad is outrageous, you know, it wouldn't be that unforeseeable for them to drop the odd point here and there. And if we can build up to, say, a six-point lead again, you know, we're edging towards that stage of the season where it will be hard for them to overturn that. But at the same time, this month just feels so critical now, given the draws that we've had. If they do catch us early, I just think they could steamroll it and run away with it.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a paradigm in my head. Do I think City could win every game remaining in the Premier League? Yes, absolutely they could. Do I think they will? Probably not. I'm not saying I'm able to look at it and say, yeah, that's where they'll drop points, that's where they'll drop points. But it's the Premier League. Teams drop points all the time. Worse teams beat better teams quite regularly in the Premier League. As we've seen from City, they've lost points to Wolves, they got beaten by Palace, Leicester, Newcastle. You wouldn't have predicted any of those situations.
True. They seem to be comfortably winning the games that you might think they're struggling, i.e. the likes of Arsenal and so on. The Chelsea game is massive for them as well.
Yeah, they've already lost to Chelsea. But so looking at Bournemouth then, it looks like they're going to be without David Brooks and potentially Callum Wilson. Who looks like he's had a minor knee op. Jefferson Lerma missed their last game with an ankle injury, and Eddie Howe said he's a doubt. They've obviously got Lewis Cook out. Klein's obviously out, isn't he? Yeah. Surely that was in the term of the loan. Solanke going to play?
Solanke can play, yeah, because they bought him.
I'd be surprised if Edwards didn't try and negotiate a sort of no-play arrangement in this game. But
I mean, that would be criminal, wouldn't it, if Dom Solanke did us?
Yeah.
I'd actually shed some tears, I think.
Big Dom Solanke.
The Big Dom Solanke ends the title challenge. Like that headline, I'd have to retire from social media, I think.
I've always been in support of Dom Solanke. I think he's a decent player, but I'm not saying I think we should have kept hold of him by any stretch, but I think he's an all right player. But he isn't really the kind of player that worries me. I don't look at their team and think Solanke's going to trouble us in the way that potentially you'd expect Brooks to, who's another one who's out, or maybe even Callum Wilson.
True. Yeah,
so I don't know what they'll do.
He's a step down, isn't he, from someone like Wilson?
Yeah, he is. The old Ryan Fraser always causes issues, but they'll probably line up with Solanke up top, Josh King just off him, Fraser one side, and then who knows, really depends who else is fit for them. Jordan Ibe might well come in.
Yeah, although he barely gets a minute. I'm not concerned about him, to be honest. Bournemouth are just quite a nice little footballing team, aren't they? You're never quite sure if they really turn on the style, or at the same time, you wouldn't be that surprised if we pummeled them.
Yeah, I know. They're the sort of team that you look at and you think they're probably less able to dig in and see out a tough draw like a Leicester or a West Ham could. But anyway, what's your score prediction, mate?
I'm going to go for a big response by the Reds and a 3-0.
Lovely. I'm going 4-0. Cheers. Thanks for listening.